Well, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. We're reading from the New Living Translation. And I'm trying to give them time to get their scripture up. But you know, it's the last Sunday of 2019. I mean, just think about this, that 2020 is coming upon us in just a few short days. But you know, when somebody says something about the 20s, or they call it the roaring 20s, we think about 1920. But you realize that we're fixing to be in the 20s? There's a few short days, it's going to be the 20s again. Now, what's even more interesting is it's been 20 years since the Y2K crisis. Anyone remember that? You know, the world was falling apart. The power grids were going to go out. The computers were going to quit working. We didn't know what we were going to do. And that was 20 years ago. You know, but we got through it somehow, some way. You know, everything that we worried about, there was no big deal. But some people are still selling the food right now, even 20 years later. You know, but 2020, I mean, you know, it's pretty wild, because it's not just a new year, it's a new decade. A new decade, and many of you probably hadn't even hit you yet, that it's the beginning of a new decade. I mean, you know, it's, you know, we're way past just the 2000s now. We went to the teens, now we're in the 20s. And it's, you know, it's a new year, a new decade. And of course, obviously, everyone's always looking for a word, you know, every year, which I'm not sure why. Because it doesn't matter what word I have for you or word anybody has for you. You know, if you don't put it in practice yourself, it doesn't really matter. People give words all the time, and you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, obviously, when you think of 2020, you always think about vision, you know, or focus. And what the Lord told me for myself, I don't know about you. I do care about you, okay? But, you know, really, you're going to have to decide what 2020 means for you. But for me, you know, it's a time to refocus and see more clearly this year. Now, I just got new glasses. Many of you probably noticed, been wearing glasses all the time now. Used to only wear them when I drove and at nighttime. But, you know, when you go to get your eye exam, you know, and you're looking in these little things and they're turning the dials, and it's just amazing whenever they actually get it clearly and you're like, oh my goodness, I can see so much better. Well, it's time to turn the dials a little bit here. Turn those dials and make things more clear. Now, the thing about it is, you know who turns the dials? God. Let God turn your dials. You don't try to turn them. Let God try to turn them. Let him give you vision. Let him make things plain to you. You know, so many times that we have our own visions, and it's okay to have your own vision as long as it lines up with his vision. I mean, there are things that we know, you know, going by the verse that I always use every time I preach, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might live life and have it more abundantly. So anything, you know, that's more abundant is part of his vision. And that's okay to have abundant things, but you know what? There's other things that God wants you to do and he wants you to accomplish, but until you focus in on it, you'll never accomplish it. You know, the sport I played the most was football. And believe it or not, I was not in the line, okay? I actually was a wide receiver, defensive back, sometimes running back. And so I had an opportunity actually to catch the ball or to run with the ball. I used to be really skinny. You know, so, you know, and the main thing they always told us was make sure you focus in on the goal line. If you look up and you're looking at the sideline, you're running the wrong way. You know, you got to focus in on where you're trying to get to, you know. And so a lot of times, I mean, you see these players, I mean, especially punt return. I used to return punts, actually. And you catch a punt, and all of a sudden you run this way, and you run that way, and you run this way. And pretty soon you're running backwards and around, and it never works out for anybody, except for Barry Sanders. He was the only running back I've ever seen that could run, like, you know, 50 yards this way and that way and still make a touchdown. I don't know how he did it, but, you know. There are some people that are gifted. Amen. So let's go to Philippians 3, 13, the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus." Here's that word focus. "I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for the which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, when it comes to the end of a year or end of a decade, we got to forget about what's behind, whether it was good, whether it was bad. I don't know. But you know what? It doesn't matter what happened in the past. What matters is what's in your future. You realize you cannot change your past. You can only change your future. You know, maybe 2019 wasn't the best year for you, but you know what? You're still here. You're still here. As long as you're still here, you can change things. As long as you're still here, you have an opportunity to change your life. All right? You know, maybe it was the best year ever. Maybe it was the worst year ever. But you know what? Whatever happened this last year, forget about it. And move forward. Focus in on what's ahead. Because if you're always focusing on what's behind you, you're never going to reach what's ahead of you. Do you realize you can't really walk forward very good looking backwards? I mean, eventually, if I was looking backwards and walking forward, eventually I'm going to fall off the edge of the stage here. You know, it wouldn't be very smart. That's what people are doing. People are falling off because they're looking backwards. Sometimes looking backwards, they say, look what I used to do, or look what I did. And, you know, oh, I think about the good old days. Well, the good old days are gone. It's the good new days that you need to be excited about. Not what happened in the 80s, what happened in the 70s. What, I mean, I know you. Maybe you were the disco king at the skate world. double sessions every Saturday afternoon. I was there. You know, but it didn't matter. Those days are gone. But 2020 lies ahead. Now, I want to give you two scriptures that will change your year and your life if you put them to practice. The first one is a scripture most of you know, but many people don't know where it's found. It's actually in James 4, 2, the very end of the verse. It says, you have not because you ask not. If you want to change 2020, start asking. If you weren't happy with what you have now or what you're going through, start asking for more, because you know what? God says you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Start asking God for whatever it is. You know, maybe it's things, but maybe it's just direction. You know, sometimes we, as human beings, aren't very good about asking for directions. You know, and there has been times that I spent a lot of times being lost because I wouldn't ask somebody for directions. Now, I know now we live in a society where we have our smartphones. They can be smart, but, I mean, my smartphone one time told me to turn left when I'm on an overpass, you know, up about 20 feet high. Thank God it did not turn left. Because if I would, we would have went flying over the overpass. So sometimes your smartphone's not too smart. Someone, you know, because a smartphone's only as smart as the person to program it or the person using it. So if you know you're not too smart, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, there's been times that I'm just really bad about stopping and asking for directions or whatever, especially if you're in a smaller city, you know, the kind where you go to the third elm tree and you go right until you get to the big rock with the little red paint on it. And then you take a left and you pass four barns. And this one is, you know, the one you want to go to is the one that's like not painted very well. And then you take another right, and it's the third house on the left. Well, obviously, those kind of directions, I don't know how you follow that. But, you know, a lot of times we don't ask for directions, and because we don't ask for directions, it takes us a lot longer to get there. So it's time to start asking. God, give me direction. I don't want to wander in the wilderness for 40 years like Moses. I want to get there. You know, and like I said, he has a plan and purpose for our life. But we have not because we ask not. Now, John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 from the New King James says, "Ask whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So whatever you ask him, Jesus said he's going to do it for us. But we have not because we ask not. Ask what we will and it shall be done. All right, so if you want to change your year, your decade, begin to ask. Now, I know some people don't ask because they don't think that they deserve it. Well, you're getting a lot of things you don't deserve. In fact, some of you for Christmas probably got things you didn't deserve, you know, because you're probably on the naughty list, but you still got nice stuff. All right. There's things that you probably get all the time that you don't deserve. But the thing about it with Christ, it's not about what you deserve. It's about what he wants to give you. It's not about what you've done and how bad you've been. You know, it's not whether you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. It's about that Christ loves you, that God loves you. First scripture I ever memorized as a kid, "For God so loved the world that he gave." See, God loves us so much that he gives to us, whether we deserve it or not. He loves us. You know, and sometimes instead of asking, what we do is we gripe. Griping is not asking. You realize that griping is not asking? And a lot of times we gripe to God. Well, God, how come you haven't done this? How come you haven't asked? You know, here's the thing. God's not going to say no. I mean, you know, the reason most time we don't ask questions or, you know, maybe ask your boss for a raise or whatever, because they might say no. And we're afraid about how the no is perceived and things like that. But the thing about it is, Jesus told us right here, just go ahead and ask me. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. And then it goes on to say, it says, if you ask anything. So whatever it is, and if it's anything, just ask. It'll change your year, change your decade, change your life. You know, quit griping and say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that and I need this, what do you need? What do you need? I mean, think about this. So what would you do if you had everything you needed? What would you do? Well, we have everything that we need because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And Jesus is all we need. Second thing that we should do is get a hold of vision. Old Testament, we're going Old Testament here. Habakkuk 2:2. New Living Translation. Habakkuk 2:2. Some of you might not know where it's in. It's in your Bible, though. All right. It says this, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come." It will not tarry. If there's something that you want, something you desire, write it down. Make the vision plain. You know, let God give you the vision and write it down. This is what God wants me to do. This is what God wants me to do in life. You know, not only that, I mean, if you work at a job, any kind of management, you know, responsibility, whether you're the head person or you're just over the department, start writing some vision down. What do you want to see that, you know, your company accomplish in 2020 or this decade. You understand this is a great time to think about the whole decade, not just the year. Do you realize that most people never get beyond the years in front of them? You know, but God doesn't just have a year plan for you. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your decade. He has a plan for your 20s. You realize it's time, we get to all be in our 20s again. Just a few short days, we'll be in our 20s. You know, some of you are in your 20s, so I guess it won't be different for you. But I'm not, all right? A few short days. Man, you know, put the vision in front of you. I've heard people say, I heard a gentleman say the other day that he doesn't know any CEO or anyone head of any large corporation does not have a vision board. Now, I've never had a vision board. I have vision, but never a vision board, you know. But this individual said, not only have a vision board, you know, make it your screensaver on your computer. Put it on the front of your iPad. What do you want to see? You know, and it's not just a vision, you know, for my life, you know, vision for this church and this ministry. Do you realize the reason that we're going to redo the balcony is because we want to see the balcony completely full? The reason we're making it nice here, we've redone the thing. You know, there are a lot of churches that I know that looks the same today as it did in 1975. And you've been to churches like that. You know, but the reason, because I even talked to Mom one day. I'm like, well, why are we worried about the balcony? You realize that the trend in ministry is to build a small auditorium and have multiple services. So, you know, I mean, a lot of places are building 500, maybe 1,000 seat auditorium, and they'll have multiple services. And, you know, because they say, we don't have enough people anymore. We don't fill the balcony. I'm like, have you ever been to a ball game? A concert? Man, they fill the whole place. Do you not think that God is greater than a concert or a ball game? I mean, think about this. Today, my favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys, that aren't very good and need a new coach, all right, are going to play a game that may or may not matter at all in front of a full stadium of 100,000 people. And if they win, it might mean nothing unless Philadelphia loses, you know, which means that we'll limp to the playoffs for no reason. All right, so the point is the place is going to be full. But it's not full here this morning. But we do have people in the balcony. Praise God. You know, but, you know, my vision is to see the place full. It's been full before, so why can't it be full again? These people say, well, you know, we live in a different generation. I know. We live in a new generation. We're born in the 20s. Let's fill it up. Now, you know, first of all, we have to have vision, but then we have to do something about the vision, because the way we fill it up is we invite people. The way people show up, two things. We invite people and we get excited about church and about God. You realize if you come to work every Monday so excited about church and about God, and about God, what God's doing, people are going to be like, maybe I should go to your church because I'm not really that happy. I mean, if you are incredibly excited about what the things of God, you know, what's happening, the things of God, all that kind of stuff, people, or let's just say this, you know what, if you start asking and start being blessed, people said, how in the world are you getting so blessed? I need to find out. Well, but you know what? I found that most people don't come to church unless someone invites them. I mean, we've had countless, you know, 200 some odd thousand, maybe a half a million people visit our Christmas lights during this Christmas season. Very few of them come to church on Sunday morning, though. You know, so, but they're on campus. But, you know, usually you have to be invited. But then sometimes you have to have a reason to come. Now, but here's something else. I don't want displaced Christians in this church. Do you realize, I mean, you know, some of you may or may not realize that there's always the hot church in town. The hot church. I can tell you what hot church is right now. But anyway, At the hot church, that means that people used to go to other churches started going to this church, so now it becomes the biggest hot church. That's great, you know, praise God for them. I'm glad that they're on top right now. But you know what, really what I want people who don't go to church to come to our church. I don't want to be the hot church. I want to be the place that reaches out and touches people that are hurting, touches people that need help. You know, and that's why that I ask. The other day, we had an informal meeting at dinner time, and I asked, I want to bring back our old motto, bringing hope, help, and healing to the world. Because I believe, I know our motto has been living life unlimited, and that's fine. I don't get it. But anyway, the deal is, I want to focus in on what is the vision of our church. Well, our church needs to bring hope to this community, bring help to this community, and bring healing to this community. But not only this community, because we're a worldwide ministry, so we bring it to the world. But the thing about it is, I mean, what do we as a church do? Now you realize that we as a church is we as a church. We. Not we as a pastoral staff, but we as a church. You know, you're a part of the church. You belong to the church universal, but you belong to Rhema Bible Church. And, you know, people should know you come to this church. Unless you want to act like a weirdo, then don't tell them you come to this church. I'm being honest. If you want to be a weirdo, go to another church. Or if you want to come to our church and still be a weirdo, just tell them you go to another church. Send them there. All right? Because, you know, people are hurting. I don't know how your 2019 was, but I know a lot of people had a crummy 2019. And they're trying to figure out, how do I not have a crummy 2020 and a crummy 2021 and a crummy 2022 and a crummy 2023 and a crummy decade? And you say, well, I tell you how. Get in church. You know, get someplace. But you know what? If you guys aren't excited, it doesn't matter whether I'm excited or not. Doesn't matter if pastor's excited or not. Doesn't matter, because you know what? The church is all about you. Not about me, not about the pastoral staff, but about you. And it's time for us to get a vision. It's time for us to look up and see this place completely packed. Completely packed. I mean, that's all I think about. Thought about it for years. Because, you know, there was a time where it was hard to find seats. Completely packed. You know, we had special meetings and people lined up hours in advance. In the cold weather, in the rain, in the heat. Why? Because something was happening. You know, and I've heard people say, well, we need the good old days again. We need the good old days. No, we need something new. And I keep telling everyone, man, you cannot reach an MP3 generation with an 8-track tape or a cassette tape. People now, some of them don't even know what a CD is. Now, the point is, I mean, you know, things are not always going to be like it was. Doesn't matter. The only thing that we need to have is the Spirit of God being manifest. Because you realize, you know, people don't come because everybody wears a certain kind of clothing. People come because the Spirit of God is being poured out. Now, that's my vision for the church, but you know, you should have vision for yourself as well, but you should also have vision for the church. Do you realize if the church is us, then we all have to have vision for the church. We all have to see, you know, we have to want to see the same things. And I know every one of you, you'd like to see the balcony filled. I get that. Well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit around next year and we're going to come to the end of 2020 and we have the same amount of people here and everyone's, man, I sure like to fill this place up. You realize the only way to fill the place up is to get excited about church. Talk to people. Man, I mean, you should see what's going on in my church. We've remodeled the place. We're getting ready for the next decade. Man, you want to go to places happening? You need to come there. Well, you know, I went there a long time ago, and I don't have any 3-piece suits anymore. You realize there are some people I've talked to that won't come because they don't have the right clothing. And, you know, it's not about your clothing. Man, if you want to wear a three-piece suit, you come and wear a three-piece suit and you look like the sharpest person in the room. That's fine. I don't want to wear a three-piece suit. I mean, I'm okay. I still look nice. My mom's been busting me with some nice shirts like my dad's. You know, I got three more new ones for Christmas that I had. I got this one for camp meeting. It was my camp meeting shirt that I got. And my Christmas shirts are still in the box. And I was going to wear one, but I just want to be honest with you. They were still in the box all folded up, so I knew they'd be wrinkled. And I had to pull an iron out and stuff like that. And, so I figured I'd wear one because, well, I didn't plan ahead. So this morning I'm thinking, oh, man, my shirts are all wrinkled. Full transparency. So I pulled one out. I got this for camp meeting. But man, I'm excited. That's something else. You need to get excited about the new year. I know some people that are dragging, oh, just another year. No, it's another decade. And it, you know, you need to get on your knees and let God give you some vision. Some of you already have some vision that God's given you. And you understand that when God gives you a vision, it might not happen this year. All right? But, you know, whenever we read here in Habakkuk 2:3, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will surely come. You know, but I wonder, is your vision really a vision if you can't see it? Is your vision really a vision if you can't see it? At one time, back in, I'll tell you what year, 1992, I decided that I wanted a new car. Like I said, the price is right, I always like that. Now, at that time, I used to get Road and Track magazine, Motor Trend magazine, all, and this car, you know, was a coming, you know, car. What wasn't even out yet when I first saw the first article. So I took the first article and I put it in my mirror. Not my car. I put it in the mirror, where you're getting ready in the morning time. Because I wanted to see it every day. Now, at that time, we didn't have smartphones with screen. You know, I would have put it as my screensaver and all those kind of things. But, we weren't that advanced at that time. But you know what? I would look at that, and every time I look at that, I would say, thank you, Father, for my new car. Now, at some point in time, that car came available, and I started seeing some around Tulsa. And every time I saw one, I said, thank you, Father, for my new car. Actually, every day I said, thank you, Father, for my new car. Multiple times a day I said, thank you, Father, for my new car, because I put that in front of me, the vision in front of me at all times. You realize a lot of times we have vision, but it's not in front of us. And sometimes we forget about it. In fact, okay, 2020 is going to happen just like every year. And there's some of you are going to make a commitment to work out more, to eat better and whatever. And that'll be good for January, part of January. And then by the end of 2020, you can't remember what you decided. And you'll probably make the same commitment again. Because it wasn't really a vision. It was something that you kind of wanted to do. You know, but, you know, the thing about it is write it down. Decide what you know, some things you'd like to see change in 2020. I mean, like, maybe you're not happy with where your bank account is right now. So write down a number that you'd like to see in your bank account and be realistic, okay? I mean, somebody, oh, yeah, I'll put $2 million down or whatever. I mean, be realistic. I mean, right now, if your bank account is like 200, maybe you put like 2,000. That's realistic. 2 million, probably not. Now, that may, you know, that might be wishful thinking. You know, so put that in a decade, 2 million. I'll go with that. All right, but be realistic. Write things down. You know, and then Once you write them down, start asking for it. You know, we have not because we ask not because sometimes we don't know what to ask for. We don't know what we want. We don't know what we desire. The Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. What are your things you desire? What do you want to accomplish in life? What do you want to accomplish in life? Now, I've heard people say, well, I would like to do this, but I don't know because I'm pretty shy. I'm pretty this. I'm pretty. I don't care if you're shy. I don't care if you've never talked in front of people. Doesn't matter. The point is, what do you feel that God wants you to do? If you feel that God wants you to be a minister, to be able to stand in front of people and talk, I don't care if you've never talked in front of anybody. You can realize I grew up a shy person, very shy. Nobody knows that now because no one would believe it now because I'll talk to a wall now. You know how I quit being shy? I decided to quit being shy. I made that choice. In fact, consciously, I remember I was in high school one time, and I'm like, you know, I just tired of being shy. So I consciously decided that I was going to go to the mall because there are a lot of people at the mall. And every person that I made eye contact with, I would say hi to them. I don't care whether I know them. I don't care whether I don't know them. I would just say hi. You know, because what's it hurt to say hi? I mean, you know, every time I'm going to buy something, I'll talk to the clerk a little bit, you know, kind of have, you know, conversation. Whatever, you know, it's just talked, you know, and pretty good. I got good at talking, you know, and now I talk in front of a lot of people. I can talk a long time. I can have hour conversations. I'm a good talker. All right. But, you know, the point is what do you believe that God wants you to do? Not what you feel you can do right now, because it's not about what you can do now. All right, it's about the talents and abilities God has for you. You know, and I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for the future of this church. But I want to see people more excited. I want to see us all excited. You know, and I actually am, I don't know why, I don't know, maybe it's Christmas season or whatever, but I've actually started, I started this Christmas season tipping more. You know, I always tip at least 20%, but I started tipping more. And actually, I've left 3 50% tips this year. Now, I'm not planning to do it all year long. I just want to tell you that. All right? But you know what? The reason I've been tipping more is because I believed in being blessed. I believe God's going to bless me. I believe that he's blessing me more, so I'll be able to give more. So, but you know what? In order to, we got to be a blessing to get blessed. And I've decided to be more of a blessing. I don't care. It's not whether they're, you know, these 3 servers gave me awesome service. All right? I tipped them 50% on the bill. That's not really a normal tip. Now, the other side about it is one of them was a pretty fancy restaurant, and 50% was pretty, was pretty hefty. You know what? And actually, to be honest with you, I didn't mean to give them that much, but I'm like, well, whatever. I've already signed my name. They must have needed it. Because I got in the habit, I mean, of giving 50% and I did it again. You know, but man, I know that we're on the verge of great things. And I believe that God wants to bless you. I believe that God wants to bless this church in every way. But the thing is, like I said, we need to ask and we need to get vision. Ask and vision. But you know what? Without vision, sometimes it's hard to ask. And like I said, I believe that each and every one of us, you know, we still got a few days before the new year. So but let's say between now and January 5th, that I think every one of us need to write some things down. Now if you want to add some things in January, here's something else people think, well, I got to wait till the end of the year to add things. No, you can add things at any time, any point in time. But I want to challenge you between now and January 5th, write down a bunch of things that you would like to see. Some things short term, some things long. And maybe a short term goal is to get a big TV before the Super Bowl. You know, I got a 75 incher. Good Friday. Black Friday, 75 inch TV. Got one, you know, in my living room. I watched OU get beat really bad last night on my my TV. In fact, well, I'm gonna admit, at halftime I was so mad I turned it off and walked. And I'm not an OU fan. I just wanted to see him win, but they didn't. But there was a good game last night. But I was watching that in my bedroom. You know, Ohio State, Clemson. It was a really good game. But I only have a 50-inch team, you know, screen in my bedroom, so still a big screen. But man, so what are the things you want to accomplish? Write them down. Between now and January 5th, get a list of a few things. Now, I had somebody tell me that you should write down 300 things. Not for the year, but you want to see accomplished. And he says this: if you write down 300 things, and said it'll be tough to write down 300 things. You know, once you get past 50, it's really hard. But if you write down 300 things, if you look at in the next year, you'll be surprised how many of the 300 things came to pass in 1 year. Mainly because you wrote them down and you started putting them into your memory. Things you want to see. Things you want to, you know. And some things, you know, might not just be for you. Might be, you know what, you know, ultimately I want to send so much money to an orphanage overseas or whatever, or start one. You know, but you'll never be a visionary if you don't start writing things down. If you never write down a vision, you can't be a visionary. Man, I want to see everyone's life changed. And I'm going to tell you, in 1 year, it's not going to change your life, okay? But you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. It's just kind of like the first time that I ever spoke at big church, all right? You know, big church, you know, I spoke at Sunday school classes and youth groups or whatever. I got invited by this pastor to speak. We were actually in Florida at his town doing a meeting at the convention center with my grandfather. And he asked me on Sunday to come and speak at his church. And I looked at him, I says, now you realize that I've never spoke a sermon in big church at the time. And you have like 1,500 people at your church. Now, if you had like 75 people or whatever, you know, you have 1,500 people. And he looked at me and says, well, you got to start somewhere. I said, but I don't want to start at your church. 1,500 people, you know. So I didn't answer him. I didn't tell him yes, but he kept on. And finally, I said yes, because I have to start somewhere. You know, and I guess if you start big, it's easier to get bigger. You know, and you know, but it doesn't matter who's there or who's not there. You know, God has a plan for your life. And you got to start somewhere. If you can't start this year, you'll probably never start, because it'll be next year and you're like, man, I wish I would have put some vision down. I wish I would have, you know, we just need to start. Man, I mean, I know some things that I'm going to ask for, because at the end of 2020, it's going to be better than the end of 2019 for me. 2019 wasn't a bad year, but it could be better. And my goals are not just all financial. You know, because some people only have financial goals. And you should have financial goals, but, you know, I mean, you know, my goals are more than financial, because, you know, it's not just about money, it's about people. People are more important than money. That's why it's more important that we fill this building up than we have tons of extra money. Because you know what? If we make a change in people's lives, the money will come. You know, I know my grandfather used to, you know, the scripture in the Old Testament says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And my grandfather said, you know, a lot of people want the wicked people's money. He goes, I don't want that. I want their soul. I want to see the wicked people change, become the just, and bring their money with them. You know, a lot of us, we have bad mentalities. It's not just about somebody else's money. It's about changing their life, because you realize our whole purpose in life is to show people about Jesus. That's what being a Christian is, a Christ follower, showing people about the love of Christ, that he came, that God sent Jesus because he loved the world, and Christ came, and because he loved us, he died for us. He took stripes on his back for our healing. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to change our life. You know, and so really ultimately we're here to change the world. But you can't, you change the world by changing people's lives. I do the math every day. I mean, you know, the biggest figure I've heard is 2 billion Christians. All right, but we're 6 billion short. 6 billion short. You realize there's more non-Christians on this earth than there are Christians? Now, I know that everyone, you know, I know people here in Tulsa, Jerusalem or whatever, and they think that everybody's a Christian. You know, I'm here to tell you not everyone's a Christian here, and if they are, a lot of them don't act like it, okay? But the fact of the matter is there's more non-Christians than there are Christians, and some people, they're just concerned about going to heaven and living, walking streets of gold and whatever. But, you know, you realize for you to go to heaven and walk streets of gold, you send 6 billion people to hell today. What I want to do, I want to reach the 6 billion. But, you know, but as we start reaching, population starts increasing. How are we going to do it? I don't know. I have absolutely no, I mean, we have the internet, we have technology. I don't know. But you know what? If somebody does something, you know, if people start seeing God at work, people will want to change. You know, and I don't know. I'm excited about this upcoming year. And if you're not, you should be. Like it or not, you're gonna drag into the 20s. You're moving. I mean, unless you die in the next few days, you're going to be here in 2020. And God has a plan for you in 2020. God has a plan for you in 2021. God has a plan for you in 2023. I know I skipped a year. God has a plan for you in 2030, 2040, 2050, as long as you don't tarry the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Christ. This next year, I'm writing things down, and I'm asking. And we come to close of 2020, my life's going to be different. In a lot of ways. And I hope yours is too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Father God, we thank you for moving in our life and touching us and helping us. But Father God, we just thank you if anyone is here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they're on the road to hell today. And we thank you, Father, that this morning that they'll come back home, that they'll make Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're here today, head bowed and eyes closed, and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I've never met Jesus. I've never been saved, but I want to today. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I've walked with God, but I've turned my back. And I want to rededicate my life today. I want to go into 2020 a different person. I don't want to be the same old person that I was before. I want to rededicate my life. I want to make Christ the Savior of my life again. If that's you, if you've never been saved, or you want to be saved for the very first time, lift your hand across the auditorium. Across the auditorium, if you've never been saved or you want to be saved. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never had the Pentecostal experience, I tell you what, don't go into next year without receiving that experience. So if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you get filled if you haven't been filled. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you. If anyone is here that's not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor today, we're so glad to have you. The Connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you to a special place. We have a gift for you. And we want to give you that gift and say thank you for coming and tell you about our services here and what's going on here at Rhema. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't forget tonight, 6 p.m. right here. And remember, Wednesday night, no hour of power this week. If you want to have an hour of power, have one at home. Okay. You're more than welcome to take, 7 to 8 and have an hour of power at home. But we're not going to have service this Wednesday night, and celebrate the new year. But don't forget, you got a couple of days till January 5th. Start writing some things down. I mean, don't just, maybe it's not just a one-day job. Maybe it's a, overtime. Don't start thinking about writing some things down. Writing down some vision. And then asking God. Ask God. Ask God to make that vision, come to pass. Ask God to whatever you need. Ask God. Amen. Well, you know the way we dismiss around here? The pastoral staff is heading to the doors. I'm going to be at the east door. That's that one over there. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. 2020 is going to be the best year you've ever had. If you make it the best year you've ever had. Amen.